this will work. But I wanted to cover a subject today that perhaps will be kind of fundamental to our conceptual processes. Something that I think we know, but I don't know if we think about it as carefully or as fully as we ought to, but it has to do with the indwelling of God's Spirit. The world's view of God's Spirit is somewhat, somewhat confounding, I guess we could say, because it presents an image in our mind that in a way blocks us from fully or correctly understanding what is going on, what is the operation of God's Spirit. Many people tend to conceive of God's Spirit as a person, a separate third person of a triune Godhead. And I think we understand how that doctrine developed in the second, third, fourth centuries primarily. But I want to present to you God's Spirit in a little different way, a little more comprehensive way, and a way that draws in more of the functionality of how God's Spirit operates in our lives. Because that scripture that says that if we have not the Spirit of God, we are none of His. Now that talks about not only relating to a being per se, but it talks about being in possession of God's Spirit as a component of our own lives. If we can divorce ourselves from the typical conceptualization, and we do need to do that, it opens up to us a number of important scriptures that has to do with this important subject. We live in a physical world, and we understand everything in relation to a physical world. But there is also a spirit world, if you will, a parallel existence. We draw our existence from matter. We're made up of matter. We understand the material world because we are in it and of it. If there were no material world, we couldn't exist in the form that we do. Not possible. But there is also a spirit world, a spirit dimension. If I could use the term, a spirit commodity, because if it weren't for the spirit dimension, there are other beings that couldn't exist as they do. Most obviously, God. God is spirit. We have a plain, clear scripture that tells us God is spirit. But so are angels. So are demons. So is Satan. He's spirit. Is it the same spirit or a different spirit? Are there multiple spirits? Let's flip back to the material side and ask ourselves, are there multiple physical dimensions? Actually, no, there's only one. All material is material. Matter is matter. Though we are all composed of matter, it's not the same collection of molecules, but it's the same stuff. Each one of us is made out of the same stuff as everyone else. Can we say the same thing of the spirit world? Are the angels made of the same stuff as God? What's the difference? Well, the difference, obviously, is the level of power that they have. And different people in the material world have different levels of power. We can comprehend that. Well, shift it over to the spiritual side. There are beings who are composed of spirit, who live in the spirit dimension, who have different levels of power, different levels of consciousness, different levels of righteousness. But it's all the same spirit. Where does that spirit come from? Well, matter is put into existence by the power of God. Spirit also, it emanates from God. Once we understand that, some of these scriptures that I'm going to go through will come out a little more clearly than they might have otherwise. But think of spirit as a dimension, not necessarily spirit beings per se, but a major dimension in which the spirit world exists. We're going to see some scriptures that talk about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Is it the same Spirit? What makes one different from the other? God exists in the Spirit dimension. The Father does, and the Son does. It's the same essence commodity, but each one gives their separate mentality to that spirit in which they exist. That may be a little hard to conceive of, but we'll see that as we look through some of these scriptures. They are distinct and different personalities. We see a separation in the scripture that talks about one aspect being committed to one of the two beings and another to another. For example, all judgment is committed unto the Son. The Father doesn't intrude into his area of responsibility. We see another scripture that talks about the timing of the end time events are the Father's own secret. The Son doesn't know some things that the Father has specifically set himself to be in control of. So there is a distinction between the two spirit beings, and it involves their consciousness, which they, or their personality, which they project into the spirit form of which they exist. Just like we inject our own personal characteristics, our own personalities into the increment of matter that we are given by which to exist. There's a scripture in Romans, I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about the things. The creation is understood by the things that are made, even his divine power and Godhead. You may be familiar with that scripture. We can even understand God's nature from the things that have been made. There is a physical illustration of the spiritual truths in God's creation. We recognize God's Spirit as a very potent power. There is a scripture. It's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that is very profound, and I don't know that we give it justice. It's a well-used scripture. But let's think about it in a little greater depth than we normally do. It's a scripture that says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." As many as received him. This is talking about someone who is, in fact, converted. That person, you'll notice, talking about having received him in the past tense, throws at us a future tense, has the power, is given the power to become the sons of God. That's talking about entering into a spirit form existence. Do we recognize that? So while we have achieved one thing, we have the power to become the other. That's what God's Spirit does for us. That is what's being offered. This is not just a relationship between different kinds of beings, but this is an opportunity to become born of the Spirit, to become a spirit being. composed of that same spirit, stepping into that same spirit dimension that God lives in himself. So we have the power to become the sons of God once we receive that spirit. Having God's spirit does a number of things for us. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians 2, 18. It says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." When a person has God's Spirit, they have an access that they never would have had otherwise. And of course, we're familiar with that scripture where Christ said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Access to the Father is restricted. It's limited. We have that access only through the intercommunication of God's Spirit in us. Romans chapter 8 is another place that tells us something about God's Spirit. Romans 8, verse 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now we see in that having the indwelling of God's Spirit changes the mind. And what kind of a change does that create? Verse 7 tells us, "Because the carnal mind, that which we were born, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So that makes a change in our attitude towards God's law. Another place let's look at is 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to back up to verse 9 to start with. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you," Paul says. "But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord God Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There's another thing that God's Spirit does. It changes our inward nature. Back up a few chapters, 1 Corinthians 2. We can see something else that God's Spirit does. 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." It's sort of like a search engine on the computer of our minds. God's Spirit searches all things. It can produce any thought necessary to provide us with understanding that we could not normally have intellectually. Verse 12, "Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So there's another thing that God's Spirit does for us. It opens our comprehension. 1 Corinthians 12. There's more on this subject. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, various spiritual gifts are given to different people by the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. We need to recognize that when we have God's Spirit, something should be produced. Now, different people have different talents. Not everyone can do the same thing as someone else. But we all have something, because that is what God's Spirit gives to us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. God's Spirit in us makes up the body of Christ. God's Spirit in us gives us the talents, the gifts, by which we can enhance that body. Romans 8, verse 5. We see something else regarding God's Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we read verse 7 earlier. The carnal mind is set in opposition to God's Spirit and God's laws. God's Spirit focuses our course of thoughts. And interestingly, our prayers. Look over at verse 26 of the same chapter, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I'm sure we've all experienced this. Sometimes there's something we want to express and we just can't think of the way to word it. Well, we can relax, we can rest comfortably knowing that God's Spirit senses that yearning, that desire to express something that we find ourselves inadequate to express. We read in Hebrews that Christ is on the Father's right hand, serving before the throne of the universe on our behalf daily. Our high priest is interceding for us before God continually. And that's where our prayers channel to. And God's Spirit can translate our unexpressed or unexpressible thoughts to the Father in ways that are expressible. Have we thought about that? That's how interpersonal God's Spirit is. He isn't necessarily waiting for us to utter a word, sometimes a thought, sometimes an anxiety is picked up and expressed through the agency of God's Spirit in us. While we're in Romans, let's look at 8, verse 27. Continuing on in the same thought, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's the platform for the next verse, which we know very well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. When we have God's Spirit, we have entered into that other dimension already. Even though we exist in the physical side, we have the capability by God's Spirit to also enter and to focus and to exercise our minds in the spirit dimension. We have already, to some degree, entered that world. And it's only a matter of time when we are changed from flesh to spirit. We will draw our existence from the spiritual in due time. And that's something we look forward to.